for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from Zexant Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday evening, June 27th, 1979. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and Summer Camp Meeting being held in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Chuck Flynn is the speaker of the evening.
Praise the Lord. I would like for us to continue in an area that we begun last evening and come unto me in the area of the invitation of the priesthood, Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30. What Jesus is revealing at this hour, Matthew 11, 28. We found out that the Lord, in these familiar portions of Scripture, sometimes says more than what is actually received with casual reading. But as we notice phrases that are from other portions of Scripture, it does enlighten us somewhat. Come unto me is an invitation not only to redemption and salvation, but we found out in Exodus 32:25 that Moses said, come unto me. The backdrop of that is that after he was in the mountain with God, receiving the law, he came forth and saw the degradation of many of the people of Israel. Nakedness was in the camp. The golden calf was there. Dr. Blessed, I believe it is, the Hebrew scholar of Austin University, also speaking quite often now, I understand, and on television, he said that the Hebrew there really means that when Aaron threw in the gold, the demonic power was so strong, the calf came out. They built the calf. And so this is what Dr. Blizzard believes, Roy, I believe it is, Blizzard. And so, in other words, not what he believes, but what the Hebrew terminology states there. That, you know, I thought that maybe Aaron was just sort of hedging, you know. Well, you know, just like the guy outside of the bank being robbed, sitting in the car. You know, Aaron says, I threw in the gold and out came the calf. And actually, though, it's by demonic activity there, that's exactly what Aaron meant. Then Moses went over by the gates of Israel and he cried out, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And that, of course, echoed throughout the people, and the tribe of Levi came forward. And the army, let's say, of the Lord, those that came forth in war, the Levitical tribe means to make war, to make battle. And so this is why, and the Lord said, now I've called the tribe of Levi to bear the, to bear the iniquity of my people. And I wonder now, just me, what is that, to bear the iniquity? I looked it up, and the word iniquity is a Hebrew word, and it's interesting, it means Avon, or Avon calling. I don't know if it means a calling, but it means that there is a iniquity, or Avon, it is that which the Lord meant in the prophetic line, I'll give you beauty for ashes. And so the ashes are the iniquity. The Levitical tribe was to bear the beauty of the Lord in worship, to keep the people from worshiping in error. And so they were to guide the people and bring them into the beauty. Hallelujah. And I don't know, it just happened to be Avon, A-V-O-N. And so that's interesting. And so in other words, the beauty of the Lord. Jehoshaphat, when he was going out to battle, he says, I don't want the soldiers in front that know how to wield the sword necessarily. I don't want you guys that know how to ride the chariot. He says, can you praise God for the beauty of holiness? Now, if you praise God for the beauty of holiness, take the banner, get out in front, and sing unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise. Have we clapped yet? Come on. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We bless your name. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I tell you, 2 Chronicles 20. What a chapter. Beautiful. The Jehoshaphat and the army of the Lord. The praise and the beauty of God coming upon his people. And this is the fragrance of life. In fact, Ephesians 2:10 continues this in a more flowing effervescence of glory. And it says, we are God's workmanship. And the word workmanship is poimeia in the Greek, which means we are God's poem. You're the poetry of the Lord. And 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3, he says, now I've written upon your hearts, not with ink, but by the Holy Ghost. So the line that might be written upon your life now may be a little heavy. Maybe the circumstance you're going through with might be a little negative. Hang around and bless the Lord, because the next line's going to harmonize. Hallelujah. It's going to have a rhythm with it. This is why the rhythm of the saints of God is very strongly coming forth, because that's important for us to have the Holy Spirit give us that inward rhythm. Hallelujah. That's why there is that poetry. And everyone knows poetry has rhythm. And so God is giving us a rhythm to be led by. We'll know when we say, I don't feel the witness to that. That means you don't feel the Spirit of God's given you a rhythm. And that's why husband and wife can agree as touching any one thing. Jesus said when you agree, the word agree means symphono is the Greek word. So we get our word symphony, which means a tremendous orchestra. And the orchestra always is divided into different sections of instruments. You have your violins and you have your wind instruments. Of course, some of us get a little windy. And you have your percussion instruments. And this is why each one of us, so that's why Jesus said, now, you are a symphono unto me. When you agree, don't try to make each other over. Don't try to be fruit inspectors. But come forth in the beauty and the musical instrument that I have perfected within you, in your personality. And therefore, some of us are violins, some of us are piccolo. My wife's a little piccolo, very dainty, perfectionist. She'll shop all day, I'll go and grab the first thing. But yet in agreement, so we don't try to make each other over. I'm a great big tuba. Hallelujah! We're different, and that's why Jesus said, hey, I don't want you to make each other over. I don't want you to, everybody be alike. I want you to be a symphony, but allow the Holy Ghost as the conductor. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of God moves upon us. All right, now come forth, and maybe you're just a little clang. But when you come in at the right time, you're effective. Amen? Hallelujah. And so it's beautiful to see. It was Rex Humbard. I collect old records. Some of you know it's a hobby of mine. I found a Rex Humbard record on one side of Maud Amy singing Long Life's Railway to Heaven, I believe it was. And then on the other side was Clement. Rex Humbard had a... Was it Clement? Anybody? Yeah. Clement and... It says he's playing Love Lifted Me, something like that. I think it's Love Lifted Me. He's playing them on cowbells. bottles. I mean, you did everything. So if you're just a cowbell, when you're played right, the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, you can play a tune. Amen? Praise the Lord. Some of us sing like we're out of shape. And but praise God for the beauty that God brings in poetry and through agreement, the great symphono, and the word, of course, is the score. And it gives us a harmony together. Now, this is what the Lord's doing. He's tuning us up. Now, he said, I brought you forth for a purpose. When John the Baptist released the ministry of Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, John the Baptist was of the lineage of Aaron, the Levitical priesthood. But his father put him into a higher area under L.L. Young. And so Zechariah, who being under the Levitical priesthood, he loosed John the Baptist, who was only 8 days old, and he says, that child shall be the prophet of the highest. El Elyon is a higher name, a representation of God's attributes. He's the possessor of heaven and earth. So the prophet of the highest is a higher elevation than the Aaronic priesthood. That's why Melchizedek was a priest of the Most High God. So it's a higher order, the Melchizedek priesthood, than the Levitical priesthood. David said, you have regarded me and my house for a great while to come. He didn't mean Solomon's temple. He meant his greater son, Jesus, and his house, which is you and I. We're the house of David. We're the key of David. We're the seed. And so David said, you've regarded my house for a great while to come, and you have regarded me, 1 Chronicles 17, verse 17, according to the man, or according to the estate of the man of high degree. Here again, David had a revelation of El Elyon, the Most High God. And he says, through the Most High God, you've regarded me, you've given to me the estate, which always means the death of the one that is the giver of that estate. So David said, because of the death of my greater son, you've given me the estate of the man, which is Jesus, of high degree. And the word high degree there is the Hebrew word hama'alah, which is the man of the ascension. And the man who is ascended is the man who gives you and I the authority and the estate of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Think about the while and come shout with us. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Now, therefore, we have a kingly anointing through David. We have a priestly anointing through Melchizedek, through our Lord Jesus. We have the prophetic anointing through John the Baptist, who was in the spirit and power of Elijah. That anointing is upon the body of Christ. Now, this is why that authority has come forth for this hour, is that John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. His father loosed him in his ministry when he was 8 days old. Actually, still with the Spirit before he was even born. But his father gave him the office. And thou, child, shall be the prophet of the highest. Begin to release the gifts of the Spirit in your home. The laying on of hands. Go in and pray for the children. Pray for each other. There's an anointing upon you. When I'm in the anointing, And when my wife's around in our prayer time, or even when we're ministering together, that anointing, before it lifts, I'll go over and lay hands upon my family or my wife, because we want to keep ourselves fresh in the anointings of the Lord. The beautiful thing to flow under the harmony of the poetic joy that God gives. But when we're praying about something together, I'll say, now, you know, honey, I think the Lord's leading us. And Marianne will say, yeah, the Lord just spoke to me, so-and-so and so forth. And in our early marriage, I used to say, well, honey, wait just a minute. I'm from Oklahoma, speak a little slower. She's from Texas. She can really rattle when she wants to. She's real sweet. But if she'll give it forth, because why? We're running in the same vein, the same heart, the same poetic joy. Therefore, I believe that each home can be guided by the authority of God, that when a husband and wife join hands and pray together, 1 Peter 3:7 says, you are joint heirs of the graces of life, that your prayers be not hindered, and therefore you'll not be robbed of the graces of life. And those, of course, those that are widowed or single, you agree with someone that's just as powerful. Hallelujah. And that authority is upon God's people for this hour, and your prayers will not be hindered. Because you'll not be robbed of the graces of life. Praise God. And the authority within John the Baptist released the ministry of Jesus. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin. That's an interesting word. I'm sure you've heard it. The root meaning of sin is harmartia. The word is harmartia. And it means to miss the mark. You strike for something, it doesn't matter how close you come to it. But if you miss the mark, it's harmartia. Now, of course, immorality, intoxication, all types of other transgressions we think are sin. They are the result of missing the mark of God for your life. Hallelujah. The mark of God, where does it begin? Does the Bible give us any insight into that? Well, let's start with Psalm 22, verse 10. Here is, and this is why I want to bring this thought out, Jesus is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Now, the Bible says that the Lord lights everyone that comes into the world. I might dwell on that just a moment, because he lightens everyone that comes into the world. And there's been many that say, well, the people in a certain degree of maturation or maturity may not be able to receive the movings and gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so now and then, not often, but now and then in travels internationally, now this group has never seen anybody fall into power. They're just some areas, and I always try to cooperate somewhat, but in my heart, as we release the anointing, and when the truth comes forth, they're set free, and they receive. Amen. I've seen the heart to respond. It's those who have once tasted but have been so cautioned by denominational tendencies and taught wrong who become dull of hearing. And the word dull in the 11th verse of the 5th chapter of Hebrews means the Greek word nothros. He said, I want to teach you more about Jesus as our high priest. I want to tell you more, Revelation, but you're dull of hearing. He said, you've been taught by former teaching, and it's clogged up your revelation ear. That's what he implied. Dullness, nostrils, heavy of hearing. But praise God, hallelujah, for the anointing of the revelation. It comes upon us and being set free by the power of God. Hallelujah. This is why the Lord is moving upon us to loosen and to unclog and bring forth revelation and to set the people free from former teaching that would make you dull of hearing revelation. But we're set free, amen? Hallelujah. The nostrils is gone. Praise God. We want more of Jesus. Don't be afraid of the word revelation. All it means is pull the curtain back and let me see a little more of Jesus. Hallelujah. So the harmartia is the mark of God, missing his mark. Now, David gives us insight here, and he says, I was brought forth, and he used the word that's in his coming forth or being conceived when his life began, in from his mother's womb. And the word is very beautiful there. It's the word embryomaia. That he says, I was formed, I was brought forth and from my mother's womb. And Psalms 22, I'm going to have to look at that to catch the word that I want. Psalms 22, verse 10, you might underline it. And the word is, I was cast. I was cast upon thee from the womb, thou art my God, from my mother's belly. And equate that with Psalms 139, verse 13 and 14. The word cast, I was cast upon thee from the womb. Embryomaia is the word that means I was formulated, I was formed. Scientists and doctors tell us that the minute the sperm, the cell, come together and our lives are conceived and formed in the beginning as of our personal lives in the womb, there is a multiplication, a beautiful multiplication of cells. The zygote is formed and then the multiplication of cells. And they say it's a beautiful pattern. And the pattern of cells is colorful, very in living color. And the cells that bring forth, and it's like snowflake, there's none that are alike. And all have that mark that I was cast upon thee from my mother's womb. See, there is, when your life was formed, God had a order for us. He had a mark for us. It's a personality that was brought forth at the very beginning. God was there performing and bringing forth a life. It was not just something that for the convenience of persons and whether they wanted it or not, or this modern-day tendency of abortion. This spirit that's in our land today of abortion is nothing less than the Baal worship. It's a carryover. And you go to Haley's Bible Handbook. And in Haley's Bible Handbook, every home should have one. It has, archaeologists have found urn after urn of bones of babies, children, babies, infants. And this was the worship of Baal, come out of Nimrod, of course. So the abortive spirit of today is a hangover of that which was years ago trying to destroy children for the sake of lust and free relationships sexually. Now, of course, each position when it is medically, or whether it's just like any other thing, whether there's medical tension given or some other reason, but just for the reason itself, that is a definite spirit in our land. So God is saying through David, I have formed you, I have brought you forth in your personality, I was cast upon thee. And the Hebrew word is a beautiful word, embryomaia. And that word means that God was there embroidering your life. And he brought you forth with the many cells that produced your personality and moved within your life. And the word embryo, of course, the embryo is formed. And from the embryo, of course, we get that word embroidery. And from God embroidering your life, this is what John the Baptist meant. He says, this is the Lamb of God
that brings you back and the world back to the embroidery of God. This will bring every life back to the abundance of the grace of God. And aren't you glad you've come back? That's what repentance means. You've turned around and you're not going your way, you're going God's way. Hallelujah. This is the embroidery of the Lord upon your heart. And therefore, God doesn't miss a stitch. Hallelujah. Knit one and purl two. He embroiders our life beautifully. And that is the root meaning of sin, means to miss the embroidery of God. In the womb, and when the embryo is formed, there is a certain characteristic. There's new areas of picture taking, and one couple brought me recently. They've already, the wife has delivered the baby already that was due and for their family. And they heard me talking about this, so they brought a picture the doctor had given them, and the picture, an x-ray picture type of the embryo, and that was in the mother, and the form of it has verified some of that which I had heard, and verifies it in Scripture, is the shape of the ear. Now, when you look at your ear is in the shape of an embryo, and I think this is a part of the head coming around and the lower parts and so forth. The ear is the embryo of the body. There are certain areas that the ear is touched, and that affects parts of the body, as the feet also have pressure points that also affects the organs of the body. Now, when the ear and the sword of the Spirit pierces the ear, the Word of God controls and moves in to take over the body. And this is why the Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. It's the embryo of the body. The word moves through your ear and goes into your very system. And throughout your life, as the word of God flows through you, and praise God, strengthens you and sets you free. Hallelujah. To be strong in these areas of release. Now, this is the factor of what Jesus is bringing forth in our day. He said, come unto me. As Moses said it, he released in you and I the holy priesthood and the royal priesthood. The holy priesthood of worship unto God, the royal priesthood of setting the people free. Now, a ministry or some person, religious individual, let's say, that moves in even in a miraculous or a royal ministry that has the authority, there are certain areas of Christian ethics that the person might not follow. That means they don't have the holy priesthood anointing. So therefore, there is a dual anointing of power in the individual's life. The holy priesthood is the praise, the worship unto God. The royal priesthood is the anointing of God to set the people free. And these aspects are the lively stones that built up the spiritual house of the Lord, 1 Peter 2:5. Now, the spiritual house of the Lord, and that which is the lively stone, the Levitical or the priestly anointing that has been released through John the Baptist, is the prophet of the highest. Now, the body of Christ is a type. As John the Baptist preceded the Lord's first return, now the body of Christ, in the spirit and power of Elijah, under the anointing and that prophetic anointing of John the Baptist, releasing the ministry, as John released the ministry of Jesus, so we release the ministry of each other. Christ is in us, the hope of glory. So that creative word is moving in the life of God's people, and we're loosening each other by the power of God. Hallelujah. By the praise, by the worship, by the authority of the Word, and God's raising up, hallelujah, the anointing and the teaching and the men of deliverance and the anointings of God in every capacity. So, here is a position that the Lord wants to bring forth, that He is coming forth within us with His anointing and His purpose through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He is loosening within each of us the authority of the prophet, priest, and king. Not only that, but He's saying that my people will be strong and do exploits. So He wants us to know that there is not the greater authority going to be upon the superstars among us, but there is a cleansing of the body. And the body shall be strong, and the scepter is upon the people. He will raise up ministries. The glory of the Lord is returning to the Word and not to a personality. The body will be strong, and this is how I feel that the Lord is dealing right now in each one of our hearts. What happened to them in the Old Testament is for our example. And so He uses from Exodus 35, verse 30, and He talks about that which, well, He said they went through the water. They were baptized in the water and in the cloud, but he actually didn't mention this in the New Testament, except that what happened to them were for our example. As I read Exodus 35 and verse 30, the Holy Ghost, as Moses said this, the Holy Ghost has moved upon Bezalel. And Bezalel and other brethren have been moved upon by the Spirit, and they are from the lineage of, I believe it was Asaph, but it was praise there. And I'll have to read that. Exodus 35, the verse, Aaron and Hur, from the lineage of Hur, and that held up the arms of Moses. Let's see there. 35th chapter of Ezekiel, and verse 30. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. Now, Judah, of course, means praise, and Hur was the one that held up the arm of Moses, Aaron, on the other arm, and the victory was accomplished, cooperation. So, Exodus 35, verse 30. Now, Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. It means that Bezalel was of the heritage of praise. And he had cooperation, a kindred spirit within him. But the Holy Spirit moved upon him. And verse 31 says, and he, the Lord, hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom. Now put down number one and underline wisdom. In understanding, number two, and in knowledge, number three, and in all manner of workmanship, number four, and to devise curious works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in the cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of wood to make any manner of cunning work. Underline, any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach, number five. Now this was the man and others, both he and Aholiab, Eliab, the son of Ahishamach of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with the wisdom of heart to work all manner of work. Hallelujah. Engraver, cunning workman, embroiderer. Blue and purple and scarlet, fine linen weaver, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning work. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is the secular anointing of God that produced the tabernacle of Moses. These men were anointed of the Lord. Moses just didn't go out and say, okay, how many smiths do we have? How many of the jewelries do we have, jewelers? But the Holy Ghost came upon a man that knew how to cooperate and knew how to praise God. Hallelujah. He knew how to lift up the arms of leadership through his father, Hur. He had a heritage of cooperation and supporting leadership. And knew how to praise God because of the kingdom, because of it was of the Lord's worship within him. He supported that which praised God. The Lord had ordained. And so the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, healed him, healed his nervous system, healed his mind and his mental faculties, brought him into not just a healing, but a creative intent that God had given Adam when Adam named all the animals. The IQ was very high. All God did was come upon Bezalel, refreshing. And that's exactly the word David used in Psalm 23. He restoreth my soul. In the Hebrew it means he takes me back to the starting point. He brings my soul into the intellectual knowledge of walking with him in the cool of the day. Spiritual perception that Adam had in the Garden of Eden. And that's what comes upon you for in the cool of the day, and the word cool, living breath, and the word that Dr. Luke used on the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind. The word wind is noe, P-N-O-E in the Greek. And the Holy Ghost let you, Luke, use a medical term. It's a maternity term. Here again, the womb. And just as soon as a baby is born, Luke said, I've been there. I've delivered many a child. And he says, when you take the baby and bring forth that child on its body, the first breath, and Dr. Luke wrote that for the rushing mighty breath of beginnings. That's what come upon them at the day of Pentecost. It was the cool of the day. God refreshes you, and we call it gifts, but all it is bringing that which God originally intended on you and I. Then we have the wisdom. We have Jesus Christ within us. It's his wisdom. Somebody said, well, how many gifts do I have? You've got Jesus. The potential of every gift is within you. Release it. The maturity of the Word, the praying in the Spirit, the glory of God moving in your heart releases the dimension of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And we better clap on that one. Let's release it. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Feels like I'm plowing tonight, but hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I guess it's because I'm going every which way. The reason is that I in laying groundwork, I hope we, anyway, just get the tape, listen to the kids. But it takes time. But in this groundwork, what do we see? The Holy Ghost came upon those men to build the tabernacle of Moses. Was for our example, today, a greater Moses than Moses is here, and it's the tabernacle of Jesus. It's the body of Christ. All right? Fivefold ministry came upon them. The wisdom, the understanding, some of you ahead of me, the knowledge, all ability of workmanship, and the ability to teach. Friend, if you think that God is going to rely upon clergymen in our day, you're badly fooled. If all we've got to depend on is the pastor, the evangelist, and the teacher, and the apostle and prophet, to which I'm a part of in my travels, I think we're above all men most miserable. There's some beautiful people in leadership, but God's not going to depend on that. Now, they'll be involved, but the fivefold ministry is the heart of that pastor, the heart of the evangelist. It's moving just as the Holy Ghost came upon Bezalel. The Holy Ghost came upon him, the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, the ability in all cunning craftsmanship, and to teach. And so the heart of the pastor, hallelujah, the understanding, the wisdom, the long-suffering of the pastor is going to be upon God's people. The evangelist, the fervor, the zeal, the compassion for souls, the teacher. I've never seen such hunger upon God's people. Oh, hallelujah. You're listening and you're absorbing. God said, you're going to teach it. Hallelujah. God says, you're going to release it. And as you have been comforted, you're going to comfort others. And so a great teaching authority will come upon us. The apostle means the one sent that is creative, that shall move in venture. Hallelujah. That shall step out, praise God, and see new works and go forth and no country limit. No boundary shall stop us. The body of Christ will go forth. Hallelujah. We'll go where angels fear to tread, if you please. Many of you will go through courts of authority. You'll go through seats of devilish activity, but you'll speak the word of God and destroy the works of the enemy. You'll go to those that are in authority. Many of you will be sent to our magistrates, where the Gene Dixons, if you don't mind me mentioning for just clarification of what I mean, and where the fortune tellers and the occult seemingly is having their heyday, God's people are going to step in there and say, thus saith the Lord. Glory to Jesus. For what reason? To build up the body of Christ. This is the example and the formula of it. The Holy Ghost will move upon us. He will bring us, hallelujah, in the wisdom, in the understanding of the cool of the day, and the ruach, and the noe, the rushing mighty wind, the breath of beginnings shall bring his people, hallelujah, to the front. Now, what about this all manner of cunning work? I want you to know that I don't believe we're just going to let the world sort of make us weary and well-doing and sort of sneak out the back door. The world's going to give account to the body of Christ and every nation on this earth. In whatever capacity it's the will of the Lord, I know there'll be other things fulfilled. But there will be a people, and there will be in every vocation, in every cunning work, in media, in politics, and in scientific fields and agricultural fields, in all levels of cunning work, the people that God will raise up and be filled with the Holy Ghost, and we're going to see in every capacity. The ministry is not just going to mean a pulpit ministry. You and I will be thrust into by the Holy Ghost in whatever capacity you will put your hand to do, you're going to be successful. Spirit of God will make you creative. You're going to know, hallelujah, the Lord has put you in a definite position, and you're going to do it with all your might and be recognized in that position to come forth as they were healed, just to know where to crack a diamond, how to weave, how to bring forth every area of the known vocational, secular work of their day to build the tabernacle of Moses, so God's people are not going to be limited. I feel the authority of the Lord is coming upon us in that fivefold ministry in the body of Christ, of course with dynamic ministries. The authority of the word shall be strong, and the glory of God shall return and take the veil off of our faces, the veil off of our heart, the veil off of his word, and God will have a people that will be strong and do exploits. He'll raise them up. They're going to be in every area, every vocation. The Lord is preparing a people to be strong, and we're going to see one of the greatest harvests. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So this is the authority, the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge, the all manner of workmanship, and the ability to teach. Now, that was the example of building the tabernacle of Moses, and so the authority of the tabernacle of Jesus for the body of Christ will be built in our day. Every nation shall rock with the authority of God. Praise the Lord. I know, of course, there's great opposition. But praise God for the authority that the Lord is bringing forth in our day. Now, Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. That's in John 7:37. Now, with that connection, he is saying that out of his belly or out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Now, this was said on the last day, the great day of the feast. That day, or the feast, let's turn to John 7:37. That is the appropriate day, or the end day, of the Feast of Tabernacles. In verse 2 of John 7, we have the Feast of Tabernacles. This is the great end gathering. It was for other nations. This is the eighth day. The last day is the eighth day, the messianic day. The word Messiah, the number eight, the anointed day. For 7 days they would worship, but one day they would build their booths. And they would take the boughs of the trees. Leviticus 23 gives us the major functions of the Feast of Tabernacles. Now the word tabernacles means the great ingathering was a Jewish feast, according to verse 2, but it is a body feast. It's the universal anointing, and even though it was a Jewish feast, there was all nations were invited to join. So it's the great ingathering. We're not just putting that here, but for explanation, we're seeing that in this particular is a great ingathering. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So the Feast of Tabernacles, the word feast, I always thought it was a Thanksgiving dinner type of thing in Jerusalem. But it wasn't that. It meant to appear before the Lord. In Acts 26, verse 16, Paul the Apostle, when he was Saul of Tarsus, met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And then when he was testifying before King Agrippa, he said, now, Jesus told me this. He said, now, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And then when Saul said, well, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest, to paraphrase. And then Jesus told him, he says, I've appeared unto thee for this reason. There's the feast. He said, Paul, or Saul, I've appeared unto you to make you a minister and a witness of the things that have already happened to you today and that which I will appear unto you. There'll be many appearings. I'm going to minister through you by the feasts or the appearings that I will give you, which will qualify you to be a minister. We're not ministers because we carry a card in our pocket and say, I'm Peter, here's my net, or I'm Paul, here's my thorn. Some identifying mark of ministry. The ministry depends upon the appearing of the Lord Jesus in a person's life. That's why we depend upon these crutches, because we stop appearing before him in some areas. So this is the quality here of the word feast. So don't think that's just an Old Testament function. It is a New Testament reality that to appear before God in Passover and let the Lamb of God cover you with His blood, in Pentecost, let the Holy Ghost fill you, in the Feast of Trumpets, let the anointing of God reveal you the cloud of God. You're a trumpeter unto God. You begin to move in the gifts and the powers, the anointings of the Spirit, the first fruits, and many other feasts. Seven feasts that are brought out there. They all have a function in the life of the believer. And so Jesus here, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. He comes in and he sees this last day, the great day of the feast. And can we imagine what he sees? According to Leviticus 23, first of all, you're going to do no servile work. There's a rest involved, a worship involved. That's the Holy Ghost movings in our life. Then it'll be by fire. Your body's a living sacrifice from the Lord. So as Jesus came into the temple area, there was the fire licking up the sacrifice. And it was approximately 9 o'clock in the morning. And the sacrifice and the high priest ministered the different types of offering, but on the eighth day was the drink offering. And then, we'll come back to that, but the thing that Jesus saw, and you had to really scrounge around, everybody had made what I call a Jewish teepee life. You brought in the boughs of the trees and of the palm limbs, and they would build their own booth. And they would get in there, every man in his own booth. There's things for you and I to do to get set free and to worship and come in to where the Lord can bring us on in to the beauty of holiness and the Holy of Holies. It's like Peter set in prison. I like this. There's some things you just like to preach. I like to preach this. It'll take me a minute to. But Peter was sitting in prison, and the angel come in, smote him on the side, and all the stocks and the bonds, not the Dow Jones average, just stocks. Some of you, I won't keep awake here tonight. But the stocks and the chains fell from him, and the angel started to leave, and the Holy Ghost opened up the doors. The Holy Ghost thought of these seeing eye doors 2,000 years ago. The doors begin to open. This is the way it seems to me. The angel looks back and there's Peter. Still sitting there. In other words, miracles all around him. But he's still sitting in his seat. The angel comes back and says, "Listen, Peter, you know, get with it. I'm not going to tie on your shoes. Would you please tie your sandals and let's get out of here?" Here, Peter just... Peter was there and he was set free. The angel of the Lord leading him. The doors open. The prison doors were open. He could have been free. But you have to make an effort. You have to do what you can do and God will deliver you. You do the possible, God will do the impossible. Amen. That's just a normal function. "I'm not going to tie your shoes, Peter," the angel said. "Would you please get with it?" And here all heaven waits till Peter ties his sandals. And so it goes back then to the booths. Every man had to make his own booth. That was took one day. And then 7 days of worship brought us to the eighth day. Now these booths were all around there. And God said it's a statute forever. The booths are a statute forever. How does the booth apply to us? Matthew 6:6. This is how the booth apply to us. Jesus said, "When you pray, enter into thy booth." Now the King James Version calls it a what? Calls it. Now the original word that Jesus used was tamaleon. Tamaleon means bedchamber or love chamber where two meet and exchange their lives. It's a very romantic term. Jesus said, "When you pray, enter into the love chamber with me. shut your door. Give me your life. I'll give you mine. The conceiving of my spirit and my virtue will be upon you. Impregnated with power, then you will go forth, and when you pray, my virtue will go out of you and set the people free. Hallelujah. That is the authority of prayer life, is that enter into thy love chamber. Don't go in there broken-hearted like her, you know, but I mean, you know, trying to get at somebody or plead. It's a place where you give of your life, he gives us of his. Let's learn how to enter into the Talmalaya. David Ingalls heard us teach on that. He wrote the beautiful song, The Love Chamber of Prayer. It's a beautiful thing, but this is the booth of the believer. This is how the Feast of Tabernacles function in your life. It's a great in-gathering. We gather up, and he equips us with his virtue and sends us out to gather ourselves unto the people. Now Jesus then, when he saw these booths, he saw the fire and the altar. And then the next event, that the thing that really brought a spontaneity to him, the Bible said he stood and cried. The tremendous uprisings of revelation and beauty in the booth ministry, the communion he was to have with you and I, through the ages with his people. Oh, that moving and growing of anthems of desire was upon him. As he sat there, he saw fulfillments and types and shadows of himself. The fire, the Holy Ghost, himself the sacrifice. He is the high priest. The booth is a communion with the believer. Oh, all around him was biblical desire. But when the thing that really blew the cork off of the new wine was when the priest, we use the word in Oklahoma, I don't know if it fulfills it, but the priest began to sashay, walk over and grab up the water from the pool of Siloam. And as he grabbed up the beautiful urn, let's say, of the water from the pool of Siloam, he brings it over. And there's the sacrifice burning, popping with the fire of the Spirit. And then the high priest takes another chalice, and he pours in the wine. He hath poured in. Hallelujah. And the wine of the Spirit is mixed with the water. And then he sets it down, and that mixture of the pure water, which is the Word, and the wine of the Spirit, the high priest is ready, and the drink offering is ready. And he goes over, and as he begins to pour the drink offering, and the smoke and the sizzling and all of the activity, this moved in Jesus' spirit. He was sitting there. He could not contain it. This was all she wrote. He stood and cried, and he says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me." This is all in pointing to prophetic anointing. I am the one that out of your innermost being, I'll give you the living water. This is the tradition. I am the reality. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. And that's what he meant when he says, "Come unto me, all ye that are laboring and are heavy laden, if you'll be filled with my Spirit." John says, "This spake he of the Spirit, which was to be received after his glorification," which was his ascension. Hallelujah. Jesus said, that's the way you're going to fulfill your holy priesthood and your royal priesthood. That's the way that the Levitical or the Melchizedek priesthood, the body of Christ, shall be restored, is that you will be filled with my Spirit. And out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. The spot of the Holy Ghost within him. He didn't stand and teach. He didn't stand and explain. He didn't stand and philosophize. The Bible said he stood in a spontaneous combustion of the Holy Spirit. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. Some of the brethren today said, "Well, if you have a word from the Lord, please write it down and bring it up. Or would you please tell one of the elders, and they will check it out. Refuse that. I know the brethren are sincere. I'm sure of it. But, brother, we've missed it. The real hint of anointing is the spontaneity and the trust that God's leading his people. But when we think we're the associate ministers or elders, and we have that party, we just can't let anybody, you know, we've got very nice people here, and we're just afraid that, Sister so-and-so, boy, when she gets, or brother, you know what I feel is that's a lack of trust upon God's people. I was talking very personally to the Lord one day, and as I usually do, and my younger minister, I said, well, Lord, I'm sort of tired of preaching Billy Graham's sermons and Spurgeon's handfuls on purpose. I preached Oral Roberts' sermons, and they didn't go as far as Billy Graham's sermons did. It wasn't the personality. It was just the person. And so I said, Lord, when are you going to bring me into, you know, my personal anointing? I just love to be fresh. You know, I had so many people in the furnace, the fourth man, you couldn't even see him. And I preached them all. One time my wife was trying to, I was anointed one night and I was really giving it to him. And my wife was trying to get my attention and I just went ahead. And after I said, well, honey, what? I thought, boy, the people were really with me. What? They were really laughing and praising God and everything, but what was wrong? She said, well, it's nothing. You just had Adam and Eve in the Garden of Gethsemane. Well, it's a wonderful thing. I said, Lord, you know, I said, I want to be a refreshing. Now, how can I come forth and be a refreshing to your people? And when I read Spurgeon, and I love the old masters and Wesley and who else has their commentary, Matthew Henry, and so forth. And they're good. It's good to study, show yourself approved, correlate scriptures. But you know what the Lord told me? He said, now, son, that's well and good. I want to tell you a better way, though. He said, you know, the shepherd's staff is on the people. He said, it's the people that will release your ministry. And if you'll listen to the interpretations and prophecies, he said, the thing that makes the ministry hard on ministers is the fact, and their wives, he said, they do not allow the Holy Ghost to move on the congregation. And he said, if you listen to my people or an anointed testimony or a prophetic word, catch the key word or key phrase, and then the next service, just table it, and when the key word or key phrases come forth in any service, begin to allow the Spirit of the Lord, and it'll fall into a certain theme, fortify that theme with Scripture, and you have seminar after seminar. And many have asked me, many pastors say, well, as often as you're speaking, but it is the refreshing of the Holy Ghost. And I listen to the body. And when the body prophesies or interprets or there's an anointed testimony, I catch the theme, because that's what the Holy Spirit's trying to bring out to the body. And that's what will keep any ministry refreshed or give you a somewhat of a background or foundation. Number two, I listen to my wife. Amen. Boy, she comes up with some good ones. Hallelujah. Or if we're talking to somebody and they'll say, the Lord has shown me this. Always listen. It'll come forth. Somebody, I believe that the things that are brought by my way, the great rivers that come by my way, bring me into my fruit. Hallelujah. It's a beautiful thing. So this is what the Lord is saying. He said, now I'm going to come upon you by the Spirit of the Lord and fill you with my Holy Spirit, and you will come to me and by the Holy Ghost and the priestly anointings, you will be fortified for this hour. Now, Joel has four emphases in the book of Joel. The army, the creative miracles, the gifts of the Spirit being poured out upon families, sons and daughters, children moving in the gifts, and in the last verse of Joel says, I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed. And I've looked at that verse many, many times. And out of Zion, the blood will be cleansed. What is Zion? For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord. Now what does Zion have to do then? Well, Zion and the blood goes in with the revelation of the blood or the word of the Lord. The blood of Christ speaks better things than that of Abel. Not only redeems you, but looses the word of the Lord that delivers the people. The word brings divine deliverance. We're renewed in our mind. The continuation and the fortification that keeps us set free, hallelujah, is the anointing of God and the preaching of His truth. And, of course, the study. All right, turn to Matthew 17 and we'll conclude. Put down by Matthew 17 and verse 24, Joel 3:21. How can God cleanse His blood from Mount Zion? Joel 3:21. I will cleanse their blood. Now notice the hypothesis, if you please, is the workings of God in the end time. In the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. There are certain men on radio of the evangelical persuasion, and they bring out a few little heavy accusations against the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They'll say, well, let the moon turn to blood, and then I'll receive, you know, the Holy Ghost, I'll believe in it. All that. Well, now that is a progressive prophecy that spans many ages there, or many areas of time. In fact, when one small step for mankind and one giant step for mankind, when the first man got on the moon and so forth, all these have significance. I want to get into that. But the blood being cleansed means that there is an authority here, an expanded revelation, and Matthew brings us out what Jesus is saying. He said, now for a while, we won't offend them, but there will be a day that the children will be free. Verse 24 of Matthew 17, and when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money, please circle tribute money, that's the support of the earthly system, religious system. Systems of the earth. They came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, or got his attention, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth, please circle kings of the earth, whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, and please underline this, this is the revelation of the cleansing of the blood. Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, please circle offend them, go thou to the sea, cast an hook, circle the word hook, the fish, underline fish, that first cometh up. When thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take, and give unto them for me and thee. This is one of the most tremendous verses of Scripture. It's more than just a casual miracle of the Lord. It is a progressive revelation of what Jesus intended that would happen in this dispensation of grace. He said, Peter, now we'll pay our tribute money. But there's going to be, I want to teach you something. Take a hook. A hook means limitation. Now, all of the times he used a net with fish. But now I want you to put a hook in the fish. Peter, there'll be a day, and he relates to the kings of this earth. He did not relate to the lowly Nazarene. He did not relate himself to the suffering Messiah. But he says, when the king comes into his authority, that's the parallel that he was bringing out. And he says, I want you to go, and I want you to take the hook and put it in the fish. That means a hook in the bear's jaw in Ezekiel means limitation. And he says, there will be a day when the children are set free. And the tribute money, Unger's dictionary tells us that on the coin of the tribute money, in spiritual interest and understanding, one side of the tribute money is pure for redemption. But the other side that supported the earthly system stood for bad food that caused infected blood, which means the gospel contaminated. The blood speaks better things than that of Abel. Man's tradition, man's sermonizing, man's personalities, and all types of denominationalism has polluted the blood. Joel said, and my spirit is poured out, this is going to be the last function. I'm going to cleanse my word. I'm going to go throughout every religious body. And my word, they're going to hear the truth. Hallelujah. My word will be cleansed. Hallelujah. And Jesus said the thing's going to happen now. He says, now, Peter, the children are going to be free. They're going to come forth. Not in their system, but because, see, the hook is going to be in the fish. The fish system will decrease and the kingdom will increase. And our allegiance will be unto him as the King of Kings and the Lord. And the power of God will be upon the body of Christ and the children of the King. Those who know that they're children of the King, they shall come forth and we won't offend them for a while, Jesus said. We'll let them do all they want. We'll let them take us through the Dark Ages. We'll let them take us through the Spanish Inquisition. We'll let them do all they want to for a while. But he said, there will be a day that my people go in and God will come into the kingly anointing. And when they do, hallelujah. He said, the hook will be in the fish. The children of the king will come forth and they'll be strong and they won't be worried about offending. They will speak the word of truth. I'm going to cleanse my blood. The tribute money will be set free for my kingdom. Hallelujah. Oh, let's praise him. Glory to God. We love you, Jesus. This is the working of the Holy Spirit, and that's why Jesus said, come on me. All ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, learn of me. He said, Peter, there will be a day. There will be a day that my people will be free. And they're going to speak. And they'll not worry about offending. And they will be strong. And they will be do exploits. Because the blood from Mount Zion is the word of the Lord. And no more shall we be receiving beautiful exposés of positive thinking or some type of natural or nature or denominational maneuverings or mesmerizings. God's people are going to be free. I talked to David Ingalls. I said, well, David, he said, I've got some new songs. I said, yeah, I'd like to hear them. So he played them for me recently. He's got a new album coming out. Supposed to be out now. Beautiful songs, anointed songs. And then David, I think we got back here on the book bookshelf some of the songs. But he said, Brother Chuck, he said, God has given me from the songs we've written, beautiful quartets and trios and choir arrangements, all types of beautiful arrangements for churches and worship services. He said, you know, Brother Chuck, he said, and it seemed like it just seemed like the Spirit just, and I was sort of, you know, just listening casually. And he says, do you realize who's really ordering all these? He says, it surprised me. I says, what do you mean? He says, most of my orders for these choir arrangements and trios and duets and so forth have come from the historic churches and evangelical churches, the Episcopalian, the Presbyterian, and the Methodist, and all of these, the Baptists, some Baptists and some of the other. He said, I can't understand it. Boy, the Spirit of God hit me, and I said, I know the reason. That's the blood being cleansed. That's the way God's going to do it. I didn't see that before, Brother David. I said, now I see it. It's not going to come through the pulpit. It's going to come through the minstrel anointing, and the music directors and the choir directors are ordering good anointed music like David Ingalls and others, and the congregations are going to hear the word of faith through music, and they'll be set free, and that's what's going to cleanse the pulpit. Is the minstrel anointed. Let's praise God for that. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. More than a conqueror. That's who I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Father, we thank you for the cleansing of your blood, for out of Mount Zion shall go forth the word of the Lord, and the law of God that's written upon our hearts shall release many. And we thank you, Lord, that you'll cleanse, hallelujah, that the glory of the Lord move upon us. My God, the hook is in the fish. The hook is in the superintendents and all of the authorities that have ruled so long. We praise you, Father, that they will be brought down and the children of the kingdom shall be set free. We thank you, Father, for the boldness of the children, and we praise you that we will not worry about offending, but we will speak not belligerently, but in the purity of thy word. The Holy Ghost of God shall move miraculously. We will see it come to pass in our day. We praise you for it. Loose us tonight by thy anointing. Yea, for my joy is your joy. Yea, for my peace is your peace. The thrill of my heart is within thee, and thou shalt go forth. For yea, the still small voice of the Lord will speak through thee, and thou shalt surely take charge and take your authority. For I love thee, and my compassion is with you. Come away, my beloved, and be strong in my word. Go thou forth with the power of my spirit. Take your authority. Move in the peace of our God, for thou shalt overcome and set many free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. More than a conqueror, that's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I'm born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's minister a little bit here. Just ask the Lord to bless us. You want to come forward and I'll minister with you. And then this sister here on the end, would you come? Praise the Lord. And this couple back there, the brother and sister with you? Yes. Is that your husband with you there? Just punch him up here, will you? Come on, I will pray for him, both of you. Praise the Lord. The Lord's anointing is here in a beautiful way. Thank you, Father. We just praise. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Isn't the Lord good to us? Amen. The brother by Brother Badgett there, would you come up, brother? Yes, you. Yeah, come on up. I want to minister to you tonight. And the brother just back of him and your wife there, would you please come? Behind the wife, there's a light red-headed fellow. Would you come, brother? Hallelujah. I think that's red. Amen. Thank you, Father. Come on up a little bit here. Oh, we bless your name. We bless your name. Could I have the music just to be very... I like to hear, and I like to have the body of Christ agree with us. Amen? And I really appreciate the music. But during these times of the release of the gifts of the Spirit, I want the body to be released. See, if we just allow... And actually, it's been sort of our fault, you know, by our fault, the body, because we've allowed ministries to sometimes show off. But I appreciate the congregation ministry, and when you're quickened, then that anointing within you is loosening that word of knowledge and that prophetic gift. So as you minister with ministries, you yourself are recognizing and relating to that anointing. So when it's your turn, you're set free. And so God will have an open an occasion for you to be released with the power of God. Many sitting in the audience. In fact, we're going to have that release class tomorrow, but tonight many of you will be set free in this dimension. Father, loose my brother, loose my sister in the anointing, hallelujah, of the word of the Lord to speak with power, to move in discernment, to move in all of thy functions. And we praise you. Let the living breath rest upon us, that the coolness of thy communication come upon us for thy glory. Amen. Hallelujah. For I will refresh thee, and my heart, yea, shall cover thee for the anointing of the Lord. My peace shall move, yea, with thee. For yea, the Lord thy God will lift thee up, and yea, the authority of my hand is within thee. Do not fear. For yea, through thy metabolism you're set free by the power of God. For my authority shall move upon thee. Praise the Lord. There it is, sister. Hallelujah. Yea, for the peace of our God and those things that would be heavy upon thee, I will provide and I will bless thee. And the anointing of the Lord shall go before you. And as you trust and rely upon and adhere to my word, you'll know that the authority of that which has begun in you shall be fulfilled. For I've set you free to enjoy the fragrance of my presence. Amen. God bless you, we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Lord, we praise you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.